This is a Hawley Baptist Church podcast, bringing you into a community in which everyone is welcome, lives are changing, and Jesus is King. Thanks for listening with us today. We would invite you to subscribe so you can keep up to date with us. But for now, we pray you enjoy listening for what God has in store for you in this episode, and that it helps change your life for the better, in Jesus' name. Enjoy. Good morning.
Morning.
Welcome to Hawley Baptist Online. And we are, I'm Daz.
I'm Angie.
And we're going to lead you through this morning. I hope that's okay. Good to be with you. Nice to see you, Angie.
Nice to see you too. Have you had a good week?
It's been okay. Yeah. Like the weather's been, but I've had a good week anyway. How about you?
Yeah, good. Yeah, we had the family came to stay. That was nice. Yeah. The dog and, chaos ensued.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's been a good week.
Chaos and family, hand in hand, aren't they?
Yeah, that's like what that.
We like. Yeah. Well, welcome to as you join us. We are starting this week a new series of sermons called, Grown Up Prayers, which is all about working our way through the Lord's Prayer and how Jesus taught his kind of disciples to pray, and thinking about the fact that when we pray, have we progressed our prayer life from when we were children?
When I was a kid, my parents used to come in and say prayers with me at bedtime, but we always said the same prayer.
Yeah, we do that with my 7-year-old.
Yeah, so it used to be, Dear Lord Jesus, please bless Mummy, Daddy, Christine and Angela.
Yeah.
And please keep us safe all through the night.
Oh, nice.
And I felt myself say it the other night.
Yeah.
When I got into bed. Yeah, it was like really funny. You know, obviously I'm not my parents anymore. But it was it's funny, you do remember that, don't you?
I think so. I think that's helpful in some ways. Like I say, I've got a 7-year-old daughter and we sit down and I say, would you like to pray today? She goes, no, you can do it. And we always say, thank you for the day. Hope you have a great night's sleep and like a really good day tomorrow.
Yeah.
And when she does pray, she'll say, thank you for the day, Jesus. Help us have a good night's sleep. And we pray like have a good day tomorrow. And I think like, a pattern is so useful.
I was going to say, that's a bit like the Lord's Prayer, isn't it? Because it's like a model. And what a great model when you go to bed, So I think hopefully our prayers have developed a little bit. I like the Lord's Prayer. I like the fact that it was in response to the disciples asking. They said, Lord, teach us to pray.
Yeah.
I thought, that was quite astute of them.
Yeah. They had an opportunity and they took it, didn't they?
Yeah.
And Jesus went, okay, here's a formula that hopefully has been useful to Christians for millennia.
Yeah, it's good.
So it's cool.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah. We're going to watch the video.
Yeah.
To sort of get us set up for the sermon series. Let's have a look.
As children, many of us were taught to say our prayers. As we get older, we wonder, why should I pray? How should I pray? Does praying even work? Those questions deserve grown-up answers.
Great. So as Martin said on that short video, we start a new series. I think it's a 4-week series on prayer and look at the questions of why do we pray? How should we pray? Does it make a difference if we pray? And as a way of doing that, we're going to actually look our way through the Lord's Prayer. And I've got the first part, which is entitled Our Father in Heaven. But before we do that, I want you to imagine that you are at an appointment with a psychotherapist or a psychoanalyst. I'm not quite sure. But the person that tells you to sit comfortably, you might want to close your eyes and I'm going to say words and... So what I want you to do is I'm going to say a word and I want you to picture what I say. Don't worry, I'm not going to ask you what you picture and there's going to be no analysis, you'll be pleased to hear. But just for go with me for the moment. So I'm going to say a word and I want you just to picture that in your mind. All right, so we can start with a nice easy one. Car. All right, so you've all got a picture hopefully of a car in your mind. Let's try another one. Hold on, Sue, we're going to go back to those. Get rid of the pictures for the moment. We'll come back to those in a minute. Let me go back. It's fine. Next one, success. What is success? Just picture success. One picture in your mind for success. And the third one, God. Just picture. What do you picture when somebody says God? Right, you can wake up now. It's the end of your year. I'll send you the bill later on. Not a problem. But I wonder what pictures you got in your mind. So now, Sue, can we have the picture? So when I said car, did you picture the car that you drive, if you drive? you know, that old banger that, you know, gets you from A to B? Or did you perhaps picture a Rolls Royce or something really smart, something you would like? Maybe you pictured a Formula One car. I don't know. I'm sure it says something about you. I don't know what. And when I said success, what did you picture? Maybe you pictured having loads of money. That is success. Whatever I want, just go out and buy it. Money's no object. Is that success? If you are a parent of a child doing GCSEs or A-levels, or you're a teacher at the moment, success possibly looks like in a minute as someone passing their exams. That is success. Or if you're more of a sporting type, competitive type, and this is me, success looks like winning some sort of competition. Maybe your football team wins the FA Cup or something. I'm sure it says something about you, depending on what you pictured. But most importantly, what did you picture when I said God? Wonder what picture came to your mind. Was it a sort of man, old man in the clouds? Sort of comforting picture, but maybe a little bit irrelevant to the modern world. Was it a school teacher, a policeman, someone of authority who's keeping account of your rights and your wrongs, the things you do good and where you make mistakes? Someone that's keeping a tally of the scores and is quick to tell us when we've got it wrong. Or maybe your picture of God is something a bit of a cosmic air hostess or air steward, a flight attendant, someone who you call upon when something is needed. Their main job is around security and protection, but every now and then they will walk past with something nice for you. Or maybe, and I guess quite likely, you had a different picture of God. But whatever the picture you had, it is quite likely that you live your life depending on how you see God. So if you see him as the old man in the clouds, you probably keep in touch every now and then just to remain friends, but it has no great impact. Or if you see God as that policeman, you probably spend the whole time worrying that you have not lived a good enough life, that you haven't kept to that standard, that law that authoritarian demands. Or if you see God as the cosmic air steward, then perhaps you only call upon him when you need something, when something goes wrong, or maybe when someone has annoyed you. The earthly equivalent, the person sitting in the seat in front of you, reclining their seat into your lap, when life isn't fair, that's when you call upon God. I wonder how you picture God. You see, there are so many ways. The Bible is full of attributes and characteristics of God. I used to help with the children's work here many years ago, and one of my favourite activities, particularly when what I prepared turned out to be not enough and the service was going on and you need to think of something to do. One of my favourite activities was to put up a sheet of paper and ask the kids to come up with a description of God from A to Z. X, Y and Z were not included, neither was letter Q. And it's quite possible. And here's one I prepared earlier. Thank you, Sue. God is almighty. God is beautiful. God is caring. God is a deliverer. God is eternal. God is faithful. Keeping up. God is gracious, God is holy, God is infinite, God is a judge, God is kind, God is loving, God is merciful, God is near, God is omnipotent, God is powerful, righteous, a saviour, the truth, unchanging, victorious and wise. Well done, Helen. And when you picture God, you could picture any of those things and you would not be right, because God is all of those. And for each letter, there are multiple words that you could pick. So how should we picture God? Let's turn to our passage in Luke chapter 11, and we're going to read just the first two verses. And it goes like this. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "Father, hallowed be your name. When you pray, say, Father. Did he say, Heavenly Creator? No. Faithful Judge? No. All-powerful One? No. He said, when you pray, say, Our Father. And in Matthew, Matthew's account says, Our Father who is in heaven. And the word Jesus uses is the Aramaic for dad. He says, Abba. He said, and he doesn't say, when I pray, I call God dad. He says, when you pray, pray and call God father. Call him dad. And the Pharisees, who were the religious leaders and the law keepers of the time, really didn't like this. The idea of calling God dad to them was blasphemy. In the Old Testament, there are very few references to God as father. There are a couple in Isaiah, but that's much more referring to God as the father of Israel, the father of a nation. It's certainly not the intimate nature that Jesus is using now. In fact, the word father and the teaching of the fatherhood of God occurs over 170 times in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And without doubt, it is Jesus' favourite term for addressing God, both for himself and for us. And so Jesus draws this picture of God as Father, a person with whom, because of Jesus' death and resurrection, we can have a relationship with, someone we can know on intimate terms. So how do we get that relationship? Well, one way is through prayer. I'm sure no one here is like this and nobody has this family here, but you hear of the parents that moan about their kids that say, I only hear from them when they want something. And I'm sure none of our families are like that. None of your kids are like that. But I wonder, are we like that with our Heavenly Father? Bit more like the flight attendant approach. We're quite happy until we need something, and then we call upon God. The fact is, we have a God who longs to have a deep and loving relationship with you. And over the years, I've learned to my cost that it's easy for relationships to grow further apart. But sometimes we have to work at keeping those relationships close. I was good friends with a lad at school. We went to the same secondary school when we were 11. We both travelled up on the train to Coulson to go to school, and we played at the same sports clubs. When we were older, we tried to make beer together. We went on holiday together. His name was Keith, and he had a brother called Neil. My name's Neil. I had a brother called Keith. Both our fathers passed away quite early. In fact, his mum went on holiday with my mum. I was the best man at his wedding. We were really close mates. But then in my late 20s, I got married and had children, and he got married and had children. I moved, and our relationship, we started to see each other maybe once or twice a year. And then he moved, and he got round to, we send each other Christmas cards. And I noticed last year, he didn't send me a Christmas card either. And this year, I didn't send him a Christmas card. Our relationship, through no fault of either him nor me, has just slowly drifted apart, and that relationship has now fizzled out. And I wonder if some of us are like that with our relationship with God. It's not what it once was. If we're being honest and we look at ourselves, it has somehow just slid down a bit. It's nothing we've done, but it's probably something that we haven't done. There's a verse in the Bible, James, one of the letters towards the end of the Bible. And in James it says, come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. And that double-minded bit is perhaps we've got half our mind on God and we've got half our mind on the things that we want to keep to ourselves. And I wonder if somehow we need to reverse that. And how do we do that? Well, I guess it's the same as keeping a relationship with anybody else. We communicate them. We keep in touch with them. We want to know about them. We try and find out what they're thinking. We do what they like. In short, we spend time with them. So when you get up in the morning, rather than scrolling through your Facebook or Insta or your TikTok, depending upon your age, perhaps we need to spend time with God. Rather than watching the next installment of that box set, maybe we need to just spend a little time working on the relationship with our Heavenly Father. Angie has a friend, and Angie's upstairs, so I can say this. She'll hear it, but she can't stop me. For the sake of the sermon, we call her Rosie, and that is her name. And when our girls were both very young, Angie and Rosie went away for a weekend. They went on a Friday. I think they went to Cadbury's Chocolate World in Birmingham, and they shared the same hotel room. And for the whole time they were away, so the Friday, Saturday, came back Sunday evening, they did not stop talking. Unbelievable, just would not stop talking at all, which is absolutely fine. And when Angie got back on the Sunday evening, she asked how I was and how the girls were. And then she said to me, "Oh, I've just remembered something I haven't told Rosie." And she picked the phone up and phoned her and then had another chat. Partly, I don't want to be too sexual, being a man, this is just completely strange to me. But that's how our relationship with God can and should be. Whatever we do, they would have talked about the really important stuff, and they would have talked about the total trivia stuff that has no importance at all. But they would have spoken about it. And we need to be like Angie and Rosie with our Heavenly Father. So what is your relationship with your Heavenly Father like? Now, we have to say that all of us had a father. And some of our fathers are or were great, and some less so. Some were happy to be involved with our lives, and maybe some weren't. Some of us may not have even known our fathers. But whatever your relationship with your father is like, or your relationship with your father was like, we need to remember, and Ian said early on, we have a Heavenly Father who is perfect. And he wants that relationship with us. And he wants to be involved in all parts of our life, not just our church life and our family life, but he wants to be involved in our relationships and our money and what we do. The fact of the matter is, God knows what you do. God knows about your money issues. God knows how you spend your time. The question is, are you prepared? Are you happy for him to be involved? Maybe it needs a positive step from us where we say, God, Heavenly Father, Dad, I want you to be more involved in my life. I want it how it used to be. Come, Holy Spirit, and work in my heart. There's a verse in John, in 1 John, and it goes like this. Thank you, Sue. No, okay. There's a verse in 1 John, which I'll read from this bit of paper. And it says, well, it's four words. It says, God is love. And the fact is, your Heavenly Father loves you more than you can possibly imagine. Whether you know it or not, whether you feel it or not, and maybe that's the message that you need to hear today. Maybe you're going through a tough time where things around are not working out great. There's an issue with your family, there's an issue with money, there's an issue with relationships, whatever it is. Well, two things you need to know this morning. One, God loves you. And two, God wants a relationship with you. He wants to call your dad. He wants to be involved in all parts of your life. There's a parable, a story that Jesus told in Luke 15, just a little bit on from where we read the Lord's Prayer. And it's a parable that's really well known. It's the prodigal son. And the story goes a little bit like this, without reading the whole thing. Son goes up to his father and says, when you die, I'm going to get 50% of what you've got. Can I have my 50% now, please? And basically he went and spent it, the Bible says, on wild living. We would probably say wine, women, and song. And he loses it all. And he comes to his senses and he prepares this speech He says, I'll go back to my father and say along the lines, I've been an idiot. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Please take me back as one of your hired hands. And the Bible says, in this story, it says, the father saw him from miles away. He'd been waiting for him. He'd been looking for him. And whilst he was still some distance away, he threw his arms around his son and welcomed him back. He didn't wait for the speech. He didn't say, I told you so. He didn't say, well, there were no recriminations, just a father showing unconditional love to his child. So how does God show that love for us? Well, if we accept God's love, if we accept Christ as our Lord and Saviour, then the Bible says we are redeemed. It's probably a word, I guess, now we only ever use in church. But what it means is to buy back. When I was quite young, I heard the story, and most of my analogies come from things I heard as a child. And I heard this story, and if I'm being honest, I actually thought it was true. But then with the power of the internet, you can look it up, and it's not. It's just a sermon illustration. But the story goes like this. There was once a painter who painted this absolute masterpiece, absolutely fantastic painting. And he hadn't quite finished it, and he hadn't signed it. And the painting got stolen. And years later, it came up for auction, and he wanted his painting back. But he couldn't prove it was his. He couldn't prove that he'd painted it. And therefore, he bought it. And it cost him everything he had to get his masterpiece back. And that's a little bit like what God has done for us. You are the masterpiece. You are God's creation. And he has paid the price. It cost him everything. Jesus died on the cross for you to get his masterpiece back. And if you've never known or you've never experienced that relationship, you've never invited Jesus to become the most important thing in your life, then maybe now is the time to give that some thought. So it's a nice short sermon this morning. So as I come and finish, I want to think about the sermon title is Our Father in Heaven. Maybe I've strayed off that a little bit, but what have we learned? Well, if you've been coming to church for a long time, so far this morning, I reckon you've learned nothing. Other than maybe there's 170 references to God the Fatherhood in the four Gospels. But other than that, I very much doubt that I've said anything that you haven't heard before. There are four things I want you to take away, four challenges, four things for you to take and give it some thought. Number one, God is our Heavenly Father. The best way to picture God is as a father. That's how Jesus tells us, a perfect heavenly father. The best way to relate to God is as a father. The second thing we've learned today is that God wants to have a close relationship with us. And maybe, and you know, and it's between you and God, that maybe you need to work at that a little bit more. Don't let it become like a Neil and Keith. The third thing is, God loves us beyond what we can possibly imagine. Do you know of God's love? And if you do, does it make you want to know him more? And the fourth thing we've learned is that God has redeemed us. Through Jesus paying through the price of the cross and his resurrection, if you don't know Jesus as that personal saviour, if you don't know him as have that relationship as dad, then we'd love to come and talk to you. Maybe you need to know God's love. Things are hard. Maybe there's a difficult situation. Maybe your relationship with God has got round to sending Christmas cards at the end of the year. I'm going to leave it there. And I'm just going to leave you with those thoughts that God is our Heavenly Father. Please do come along for the rest of the next 3 weeks where perhaps you might get a bit more ideas and answers of prayer. But if we can get the facts right that God is our Heavenly Father and he loves us, then we will want to pray and spend time with him. Got some questions coming up, but let me just pray first. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are our Heavenly Father. That Father, you love us so much. Father, that you want us to call you Dad. Father, that you want to be involved in every part of our life. Father, we say sorry for when we have blocked you out. Father, when we have found things that are more important or seem more important to us at the time, Father, we now just spend a few minutes. And Father, we just pray that you will come into our lives in a new way. Father, that we will know your Holy Spirit working in our lives as we call you our Heavenly Father. Amen. Some questions for you to think about.
How do you picture God? How does the idea of a Heavenly Father make you feel? How would you describe your relationship with God? What can you do to improve that relationship?
Wow.
Thanks. That was good.
And that story about me and Rosie was absolutely true.
Is it true?
Absolutely true.
I can believe that.
Yeah,
like, my experience of having sisters and a mum, like, they just talked all the time.
Yeah.
And now I have a 7-year-old girl. She wakes up either singing or talking, sings or talks all day, and then goes to bed singing or talking. Yeah. And you think, oh, my goodness.
I know. But it was interesting. I'd never thought about that, you know, we should be like that with God, shouldn't we?
Yeah.
And it's funny because I don't see Rosie very often. And but I did see her. I spent a couple of days with a couple of months ago, and it was just the same. It was like, whoa, we're back, and we're sort of, you know,
just
but didn't stop. We went to bed so late, and so tired, but absolutely, we have let it slip, you know, over the years. You know,
and you think we do that same thing with God? I don't, this is not one of the questions, is it? But like, when I think about my like friends I had at school or picked up at university, and even my family now, because I moved away and life gets busy, so you speak to them like a little bit less and then a little bit less, and suddenly I think, like, I haven't phoned my dad in 2 weeks, and that's like a long time. And maybe we do that with God as well.
I think we probably do that with God. Yeah. And I'm Neil and I are the same. We're both not good at keeping in touch with people, so I actually got some reminders on my phone to remind me to
keep
up with some people. And it just sounds like terrible, but it's just, but then I sort of think my relationship with God shouldn't be like that. I shouldn't need to set reminders on my phone to remind me to pray, but maybe to get to reignite that relationship, that's the thing we need to be doing, just to sort of
like the word shouldn't is so, I use that all the time in my head, like when I think about, oh, I should do this, should do that, but it's such a, it's so unhelpful, I think. Like, oh, my relationship with God shouldn't be like that, but it is, Dad's, like, so what can I do to change it if I'm not happy with it? Because that word should is an indicator, like, I'm not happy with how it is, like, what do I need to do about that, like, now, to make sure I'm more happy with it. And that is one of the questions, isn't it?
Yes. What can you do to improve that relationship with God?
What can you do to improve that relationship? I think set reminders is a really good shout.
Well, it's a start, like, isn't it? I guess. But I'm going to say it again. You feel like you shouldn't have to do that because you feel the relationship with God is so important. But equally, my relationship with Rosie is really important. But I need to remind myself to keep that relationship up to date. Maybe we do need to remind ourselves.
I think we can all be a bit out of sight, out of mind with people sometimes, and it's hard with God because he's always out of sight in that respect. I don't know if that's necessarily theologically true, but
you know,
I think that's right.
Because I think, you know, we talk, don't we, about our spiritual life, and God is in our life, and God is working in our life and moving in our life, but the reality is that it's very easy to not see that, not feel that, to ignore that, particularly if you're not looking for that. It's, you know,
or to get used to that, maybe, is what happens. And we take it for granted a little bit.
Yeah, that's a good point. Because I would never suggest that God's not working in my life and doing stuff. Of course he is, but I think, are there two things happening there? One is we get used to it, and the other one is we just start to forget about it, or I don't know, or deny that that's what's happening. I don't know.
We get so used to God just being God and
I know
being cool and being chill and loving us that we sometimes think, like, oh, I better just talk to him a bit.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
I wanted to and open the Bible and see what he's saying.
Yeah, but... and not just when you have the crisis and the emergency.
Yeah, we're all guilty of that one.
Yeah, I know. You And but then you see, God is so good, isn't it? I mean, he's like a dad, isn't he? So, you know, I mean, I wasn't in close contact with my dad. You know, I didn't meet him every day or everything. But I knew that the second I asked dad something, he would always come good.
And we'd always ring dad in a crisis. I would anyway.
Absolutely. And still now, my dad died about 7 years ago. But I still now very occasionally think I'll just ask dad, and I can't
do that.
But God's a bit like that, isn't he? We're in a bit of a crisis, and we immediately think, let's just pray about this.
Just ring about this. Yeah.
God help me out of this one.
Yeah.
But God's so good. I mean, that's where God's, you know, is like the perfect. Well, God is the perfect Father, because he'll always come good.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we've all done that prayer, haven't we? We get, oh God, I'm so sorry. I haven't prayed for such a long time, and you're really good, and you're really important, and you're amazing. Please, can you help me?
Yes.
You
know. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And you think, you know, God's not fooled, is he?
No.
God knows what's going
on. But he also doesn't maybe judge us, because, like, if I ring my dad about, oh no, there's water coming out of the dishwasher. Like, what do I do? I'm sorry, I haven't phoned you for 2 weeks. He'd be like, it's fine. Like, okay, like, let's sort this problem out. And, you know, it's not like, oh, because you haven't spoken to me in so long, like, no, I'm not going to help you. There's none of that. It's all like, yes, fine. Like, we'll get on with it and move forward.
Yeah.
I think God's probably like that, isn't he? Because he doesn't need us to pray to him. Like, he doesn't need that. Like, it only benefits us, really, to pray and to seek God.
Yeah.
So what can I do to improve it is actually just spend time with him. I don't know what that even looks like, but.
No, I don't know what that looks like. I think
setting a reminder on my phone or booking out time in my calendar maybe is what I need to do.
And there's something about routines, isn't there, as well? So it helps. I mean, when I was growing up, so we always did prayers at bedtime. I grew up in a tradition where we sort of daily Bible times were really, really important. So we were, you know, regularly told, you know, have daily quiet time to read your Bible, just pray.
Yeah.
And that was really good. And, you know, I've fallen out of that habit. Well, I've been phases being there.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think something about habit setting, isn't there?
Mm. Apparently it takes 60 days to set a habit.
Oh, right.
So it's like 2 months. It's a long time.
It's a long time.
And so that's why I remind myself, I think, oh, I didn't persevere enough with whatever that habit I was trying to set. I'm just not really good at it. So 6 days is a long time.
Wow, it was a long time.
Yeah.
But there is something about not being legalistic as well, isn't there? There's something about God being so incredible and so amazing, and our relationship should be vibrant and dynamic and changing and evolving, and it's not just about sitting down for 5 minutes or 10 minutes every day, and it's much more of a, I don't know, you know what I mean. If you're listening, you can't see that I'm waving around my hands. I'm trying to sort of
trying
to pick something that involves and changes, and is, you know,
it needs to feel, we need to feel alive when we speak to God. Like, that's part of what makes us human, isn't it? What makes it feel worthwhile doing. But I always use that excuse in my head, and sometimes I think I use it a bit too freely and think, like, oh, you know, I'll speak to God at some point. I know he loves me and it'll be fine. When actually there is something, there is also a balance of, like, I just need to be a bit disciplined sometimes, sit down and spend time reading the Bible or just be in prayer for whatever that looks like.
Yeah.
And the more I do that, the more that feeling will come of, like, this is really useful, because, you know, 7 times out of 10, God is, like, it feels meaningful to do that.
Yeah.
Sometimes it doesn't, though, and that's hard.
That's hard, isn't it? And that sometimes it's easier when life is good and life is easy.
Mm.
They're the times it's easier to forget that God is part of that.
Yeah.
It's when it gets tough, and, you know,
we feel like we really need it.
Yeah.
That's true.
But it is about relationship, isn't it? And it's, you know, it's about growing and developing and changing and investing in it. I really like that bit from Neil about that we need to invest.
Yeah,
he might not have even said that, but that was he was talking about investing in relationships, not making it just
an investor's help work, because you do have to, like, spend time, or to improve any relationship, you have to spend time. So that's how we can improve it, I guess.
Yeah,
to spend time with God, whatever that looks like. I think that looks different for everybody.
I think you're right. Yeah, because it can be a quiet time with the Bible, it can be going for a walk, can't it? It can be being with other people, you know, and sort of exploring your relationship with God together.
It's
good. Well,
we've waffled enough.
I think we've waffled enough. Yeah, I hope you have found that helpful.
Yeah, some, like, quite simple but profound, like, ideas in there, I think.
Shall I tell you a story?
Oh yeah.
Before we finish, so you've probably all gathered. Neil's my husband, and Neil and I were in a house group together.
Okay.
And our house group leader was Rosie.
Yeah.
So Rosie, who you now all know, and 1 week, Rosie, as Rosie would, decided to go around the house group and say what she was grateful for everybody in the house.
Okay.
Group.
Yeah.
Right. So she went around to everybody and she said, oh, you know, I can't think of, I'll just make these people up, you know, oh, you know, Joan, I'm so grateful that you're so prayerful. And Mary, I'm so grateful because you always bring me a cake and you're lovely. And then she got to Neil and she said, Neil, wow, I'm just so grateful. Well, you're just so simple. And she then quantified him. I said, well, I mean, uncomplicated. And actually, she said that's what she really appreciated. It was his simple to do. So that's what we've had this morning. So that's what we've had this morning. Neil being sort of simple and straightforward.
Straightforward would have been the better way of saying it. But we knew what she meant.
Yeah, so that was my lovely friend.
I imagine if you're going to say that about anyone, Neil would take that quite well, I think.
Yeah, and we've
laugh about that.
We've obviously never forgotten that. That was 30 years ago. We've not forgotten that. But anyway, so if you enjoyed this morning, do feel free to share with your listening on podcast or on YouTube. Share it. Subscribe to our YouTube channel.
Yeah.
If you've got any questions, you can email us at gotquestions@holybaptist.org.uk. We'll get back to you. And join us next week for the next part.
That was today's episode of Holy Baptist Church podcast. We hope it's prompted you to want to follow Jesus, hopefully a lot, but even just a little bit more closely. If you have any questions about what you've heard in today's episode, or you want to know more about what it means to follow Jesus, you can email us, gotquestions@holybaptist.org.uk. We'd love to hear from you. It would really make our day. If you want to hear more from us, just a reminder, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and you can download the Holy Baptist Church app from the Apple App Store or Google Play to hear it as well. Simply search Holy Baptist Church. Thank you again for listening to Holy Baptist Church podcast. We pray God will bless you, and we'll see you next time.